We'll see. Because it'll be getting pretty busy here.
Yeah. Cool. I just started recorder.
It's really nice.
It is. It doesn't have to be any, like, formal or...
Yeah.
It's just a combo, you know?
Yeah, man.
Me and Kayla started this podcast. Mm-hmm. We had, like, a daily thing. We called it The Daily Unpacking. She came up with a name, which is pretty cool. And we were supposed to, you know, do, like, a five-minute, you know, recap of how what we experienced today. And it just turned out to this idea.
Cool.
So... yeah, so it's a traveler's podcast, meaning, you know, us just having conversations together is already a traveler's conversation. So whatever we talk about, it's going to end up being a traveler's podcast.
True that.
But I do have some questions. First of all, I want to get to know you a little bit more. I want to get to know, you know, where do you come from and how do you found, because we met here in Pi.
Yeah.
How did you find Pi? And what brought you here?
Okay.
So who's Dylan?
Yeah.
And how did you end up in Pi?
So Dylan was born in Canada. I was born in a place called Salmon Arm, British Columbia. And at about the age of 3, my parents and I moved onto a houseboat for 4 years. Really great experience. I was pretty young, so I don't remember tons of it. But I think it got me very into the water. Shortly after that, we moved to Vancouver Island. Mm. And so I've lived by the ocean and the mountains most of my life. Yeah, I surf, longboard, wakeboard, skateboard,
nice.
Everything, like all that stuff.
Cool. Snowboard?
Yeah, I snowboard lots.
Wow.
Where I've lived most of my life is about 20 minutes from the peak of the mountain.
Yeah.
So I do.
You can go anywhere in the world and like have something to do.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. That's right. Vancouver Island is one of the special places where you can actually surf, longboard, and snowboard in the same day. So
that's insane.
Yeah, very grateful for having
that's
that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I grew up around a lot of nature and doing a lot of exploring and stuff because Canada has a lot of nature to explore, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
Actually, the story about coming out to Thailand is pretty unique, I think. I was 18 years old. I just graduated, and I was on my way over to the mainland. I've been really into street bikes and cars my whole life, and at the time I was on a street bike, excessively speeding on the highway to catch my ferry. And then I saw another bike that was also excessively speeding, so I decided to follow him because like, the cops would probably pull him over. So I followed him. We're going about 160, 170 on the highway, and we stopped at a red light. And he's like, hey, man, are you trying to catch the ferry? And I told him yes. And he's like, it's not worth risking your life. Which I found ironic because this guy was also speeding. And he was also going to catch the ferry.
Yeah.
I decided, okay, you know what? This guy, that makes a lot of sense. I pulled over, ate a sandwich, called my mom, let her know I was going to be late to come to Vancouver. Slowly made my way to the ferry. And I was like 3 minutes late for the ferry. So I was kind of like pissed off at this guy. I was like, I would have made it. But anyways, I ran into him in the ferry lineup and we started talking. He pretty much just said, like, so what are you doing with your life? And I told him, like, well, I might be moving to Alberta, which is a province in Canada that's all mostly about money. It's not very beautiful.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of work there. I said I might be moving there with my girlfriend at the time. And he just straight up said, like, that's a horrible idea. And I was like, what do you mean that's a bad idea?
You
like,
know me.
This
yeah.
was my plan. Like,
yeah.
that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, he said, well, I'm on my way to Thailand soon here. And at the time, I honestly thought Thailand was, like, in China. I had no idea. I had no reference point whatsoever.
How old were you at the time?
I was 18. Yeah. So he told me a little bit about Thailand, and I was pretty intrigued. And I remember thinking about it for about 2 days straight, and I brought it up with my mom. And I ended up booking a ticket to Thailand and breaking up with my girlfriend.
Really?
Within a couple days.
Wow.
Because it just resonated with
impulsive,
me, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very impulsive.
But what did he tell you about Thailand that, like, stuck with you?
I think he said it was pretty cheap. The people were friendly. He was a dietitian, and he said, like, there's a lot of fruit and good food there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. It, probably stuff about girls. Probably
How many
about,
times have you been here?
I've been here 4 times now. Yeah. I think he probably said stuff, because, I mean, being 18, he probably said things about, like, how foreigners, white foreigners get treated like they're kings or, like, really well. And, I mean, that was probably appealing to me at the time. So I came out here for my first time. I told my mom I was going with friends. I went by myself. I just knew she probably wouldn't have been okay with it.
Yeah.
She actually purchased my flight for me. It was my grad present, which I'm super grateful because that started my traveling adventures.
Yeah.
So then I came out here for 2 months. It was really, really beautiful 2 months. I remember when I left, I remember crying and being like, I can't wait to come back here. I'm coming back as soon as possible. I then got kind of sucked back into the system for about a 5-year period. I've owned probably about 60 cars and motorbikes in that 5-year period. I bought my
Crazy.
First house when I was 21.
Wow.
Filled it up with stuff.
Where?
On Vancouver Island. Yeah. So I had all these things, and I still wasn't feeling the happiness that I was obviously striving for. So after a lot of dysfunctional relationships, and owning a lot of things. After about 5 years, I finally realized what I had been sucked back into, and I got rid of everything, and I came back. So since then, when I've been in Canada, I've been living in tiny homes and vans and converting vehicles and stuff.
That's fucking cool.
Which I've way more peaceful mindset when I'm in that state.
Yeah.
And
so you adapt to more of a minimalistic mindset, and then you realize, you're self-aware enough to realize that what you were chasing was did not give you what you wanted to have.
No,
which is essentially like happiness, fulfillment, and all that stuff, right? So you adapt to a minimalistic mindset, you downgraded what you owned.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just bounced. So what was the reason for your departure the very first time you left? Like, now you probably touched on it already, but like, what's the core like motivation, other than like your mom buying you the ticket?
Yeah, her gift was a ticket to anywhere. The joke was a one-way ticket anywhere, but that was the thing. And then Thailand came into my awareness, and I decided that's where I wanted to go.
And then you went to Pai that time?
I went up to Chiang Mai. I spent about 6 weeks in Chiang Mai, and then my last 2 weeks I came up to Pai.
And at that time you were only 18.
Yeah, that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting memories on Facebook and stuff recently.
That's so cool.
Pai was completely different back then.
I was going to ask, like, how was it back then?
Do you know, on this side of the bridge, on the right-hand side, there's a bamboo building.
Yeah.
That was the place. That was called the Bamboo Bar. Mm. And when you walk around, it would like move around and stuff and sway in the wind. It was super sketchy. But that was like the only really place to go at night.
That's so cool.
Now, obviously, you can see there's...
And the Paradise was not here. It was the resort thing, right?
Yeah. I had no awareness of Paradise at all. It was Pitera Resort or something.
Yeah.
I was not... Didn't come down here at all.
That's so sick.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 25.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're really young then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're 25 and you... bought your first home at 21.
Yeah.
How did you collect the funds to be able to do that?
Yeah, so I went and worked in Alberta in a place called Edson. I worked for 8 months straight in the oil field, working 16-hour days. I took Christmas off. That was my only
day. You must have gone to school to be able to do that.
No. They accept anyone that has a bit of sense
to
them. So I worked those 8 months straight near the end because I was going to continue saving money. But it was a very depressing place to be. I wasn't being good to my body. In camp, you can eat as much food as you want, stuff like that, unhealthy food. And I was really smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day at the time. In Alberta, they sell 25 packs. So that's 50 cigarettes every day. It's really unhealthy.
That's a lot.
However, near the end of that, because, like I said, anyone who has a bit of sense to them, they would hire. The job that I was specifically doing as a rigger, I'd be on the ground where I'd be like, rigging up piles, which means like taking metal wire, wrapping around these massive metal pipes, and then a huge 60-ton crane pounds them into the ground so they can build structures on it in the oil field.
Okay.
And my operator, 2 days in a row, nearly killed me due to gambling on his phone while operating machinery. So he was more concerned about the game on his phone than my life. So the hammer dropped like right next to me. It could easily just squish me.
Insane.
So I was like, you know what, this definitely isn't worth my life.
Yeah,
so I quit that day. Went back to the island. Bought the house, couldn't afford to pay the mortgage while living there because jobs don't pay much. So I had people move in and I went back to Alberta again to work.
You still own that property?
No, so actually I sold it after just over a year of owning it.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it to my mom and her fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a fair value for it. The property value went up 220% in 1 year, so it was a good investment for
that's
me.
A lot.
Yeah, it's huge. It was a modular home, so the home stayed about the same. And I actually just went back to Canada. I just got back... 6 weeks ago from Canada, helping them sell the same house.
Yeah.
The entire value went up more than double in the last 2 years. So they had a massively good investment.
Yeah.
I went back, I kind of convinced them to sell it, but also went back to help them sell it.
Yeah.
Just because they have a boat and they spend a lot of time in the water and they're never there. But it's kind of like this safety retirement thing where they're like, yeah, we'll retire here one day. But they're just always moving and doing things.
Yeah.
There's no way they're ever going to do that. So I have to kind of be like, you guys, do you think this is just kind of like a comfort thing? And they finally realized that and decided to sell. So it was really cool.
That is so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you helped them with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're born in 93 or 94?
94. Yeah.
94.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like you've done so much already. Like you have such baggage of experience. Like I feel like the way you speak, the way you talk, and like I feel like you've been through a lot, which is really cool.
Mm. I'd say biggest factor is I've been addicted to change. I've always felt from a young age that I had a large purpose.
Do you have ADHD?
If I was going to be, probably, we probably all do,
I mean,
at some degree, but I don't spend a lot of time going to doctors and finding out my problems,
I get it.
But however,
you're addicted to change.
Yeah. So basically I've had like 30 different jobs, I've never been fired from a job, and I'm pretty much friends with all my old bosses. However, as soon as I got to the point where I stopped learning and 3 or 4 days went by where I did the same thing over, I'd be like, guys, I can't do this for the rest of my life. It felt like this was either the rest of my life or I have to change now.
Yeah.
So because of that, I've learned skills in a lot of different areas. And as life situations come up, I realize, wow, like at that time it was just for money. Yeah. But now I have the skills to do the things I'm in now. It's really amazing.
So what do you want to do, like, moving forward, if you look, like, 10 to 15 years ahead of time? Like, where do you see Dylan going?
Wow, this is something I haven't thought about a lot lately because I spend a lot of time living really in the moment, as much as I possibly can.
But if you would do that, like, if I'm going to specify the question a little bit more, if you would continue doing that for the next 15 years, where do you think you'd end up?
Okay. In a position where I'm able to influence others out of the system that I find so corrupt myself.
Yeah.
It's the reason why I've been spending so much time in Thailand, because I feel like even though Canada seems like a great country, when I'm there, I'm owned by the government, and they make people think that they're not. And I disagree with so many parts of the system. So by being in another country, I feel like I'm able to step away. It's similar.
Observe it from afar.
It's similar to, I think, homeless people. They make this societal meme about homeless people where they're lazy or they're drug addicts and stuff like that, when in reality, a lot of them have seen the system for what it is because they've been able to step out of it, and they would never want to join back, sign up for a prison, right? Well, the people that are inside the prison are like, oh, let's help them out and get them back in here. Like, it's so good over here, you know? Because like, they're delusion. Yeah.
So, but that I guess that desire comes from what you personally experienced. Like, you probably had, you know, emotional waves in your life.
Definitely.
You've had dysfunctional relationships, and you probably learned a lot from that, right?
Yeah, I learned most.
So tell me about, like, a moment in life in which you have, like, crashed a little emotionally, and then picked yourself up.
Sure, yeah. One thing that comes to mind first, a specific relationship. There's actually a line of dysfunctional relationships in a row because I obviously didn't connect the dots quite, I kept attracting those kind of people.
Yeah, and you're still fucking young.
Yeah,
so.
yeah, that's right. So one of which was a relationship where I'm going to like try and shorten it because obviously it's quite long.
Oh, we have the time that you have, so
perfect, yeah. So basically, at the time, I applied for a job selling TELUS door-to-door home services.
TELUS.
So in Canada, that's a service provider for cell phones and internet and stuff like that. So I started doing that. Shortly after starting, I started seeing the top salesperson in, I don't know if I did this kind of like being like I wanted to get better, so I started, but it was more like I was attracted to this girl. She just happened to be like the top sales rep in Canada for TELUS. So she taught me everything. Within a couple months, I was the fourth highest salesperson in TELUS, door-to-door. So that was really cool. However, it was one of those relationships where she had a rough upbringing and a lot of trauma. And my storyline was that I was helping her. Unaware at the time that through what I thought was helping, and you know, if she cheated on me, things like that, I'd be like, you know what, it's because of her past. It's not, and I would forgive her for these things, right? Or being manipulative, it's because she's healing.
So like a pushover kind of thing?
Yeah, that's right. At the time, I just felt like a noble thing to do.
Yeah.
However, at this point in my life, I realize now that I was actually just, in a way, enabling, but also postponing her growth. Because by not allowing her to hit, like, maybe a rock bottom or something, I was stopping her from dealing with those things and actually healing, even though my story was that I was healing her, right? So through that... after being cheated on multiple times, being manipulated, believing realities that weren't true at all these things, I eventually broke up with her. And when I did, unfortunately, she actually tried to kill herself, but that was part of her, you know, going down. Luckily, she wasn't successful in that. And
she actually tried? Because there's a difference between having suicidal thought patterns and actually acting out.
Yeah, so what happened is she did attempt to. She was on the phone with her grandma prior to that, and her grandma felt something was up, so her grandma called the cops and brought them to the house and caught her in the act. Of like an attempt, so they found her and I sent her to some kind of place. I haven't been in contact with her really since then. Anyways,
but you probably were emotionally, you know, impacted by that.
Yeah, definitely.
How was that for you? Because you probably had to pick yourself up from that.
I did, yeah. So what I did is I converted a Nissan Pathfinder into a home of sorts. I put like a roof vent, stove, sink, solar. I could run power tools in the bush, etc.
So cool.
And I went and lived in Crownland for almost 3 months with my dog. Which is just like no man's land in Canada. There's like thousands of acres where you can go there and camp and stuff. You can't build houses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I went and lived out there and did a lot of reflecting and just spending time in nature. And I think that was, for whatever reason, I knew that's what I needed to do.
How
and it
long
definitely
would you
was.
Say it took you, like from from like your rock bottom until you like felt like you now you've come past that.
Yeah.
And now you've healed and now you've learned and now you're living what you learned.
Mm. I don't know. I don't think I could put it in an exact time frame on that.
It's hard. I can imagine that. It's a hard question. But the reason I ask is because I've heard so many times that the time it takes you to break it takes at least twice the amount of time to like heal from it.
I'd say so, that's probably accurate. Yeah.
Because that's what is true for me. Like, it took me about 8 years from like my worst emotional crash to like I was fully healed, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think I'm grateful that even though like these relationships went to like really crazy dark places where I didn't like who I was at all because I was being dragged into this energy pattern and stuff like that and thought patterns. Yeah. Thankfully, though, these relationships were still only like a year and a half. None of them, I didn't let them go on for so long that the story became so strong that I wasn't able to leave because I've seen people in that situation. So I was still able to get out of them and learn from them.
So self-love was probably a big subject at that time.
Yeah.
What do you know about that and how did that help you in the way?
So back then, I don't think I knew a lot about it at all because I was looking.
Which is probably why you were in the situation.
Which is why I was looking for things outside of myself. This is why I thought the next car, the next bike, the next house was going to make me happy. That's right. Obviously, didn't. Or the next promotion, the next raise, all these different factors.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think it takes your attention a lot away from self-love, and I wasn't really expressing those things to myself. You know, I was smoking
a lot.
It's the exact opposite. Yeah, eating unhealthy. I mean, that also comes from a lack of information in the overall society of things. We just don't know that what we're doing is horrible for us because everyone else is doing it as well. Yeah.
And we're told that that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, and I believed it, like most people.
Exactly.
So,
and still, probably, there's still a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of programming for myself that I'm still discovering, you know, and still trying to get outside of. Sorry, I don't really recall the full last question.
No worries, we're just jamming.
No worries.
That's just how the conversation is flowing. Right?
Yeah, you got it.
So now we know a little bit about who you are. You know, like, I love your soul because you have such a way to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So we're going to go a little bit over to more like a traveler's. Recording. A hypo. No problem. It's
no
okay.
Problem.
it's part of it.
Yeah.
This is Pooh, everybody.
Pooh, can you say hello?
Yeah, you can say hello, Pooh.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you.
We're going to move more into like a more good traveler's questions, meaning, because there's so many people that want to travel. You know, we're talking about, you know, people that go to school and believe the lies that we're told, you know, and most of these people are like in school and trying to get this title so they can get this diploma, so they can get this job, so they can get this money, right?
And then maybe they can travel.
Right? Yeah. So many people think that they need that before and they have to save a lot of money and you got to be rich to be able to travel 6 months. That's not true, right? So that's one of the things that I want to like accomplish with this podcast is like to get people to understand that if you want to travel, you can leave next month, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter. There's some things that, you know, you gotta take into consideration when it comes to like loans and payments and if you have mortgages and shit like that.
That stress could also kind of hinder your experience traveling if you didn't have a lot of debt.
And it'll,
I get that.
Exactly. And it'll like shorten down your time you'll be able to be out and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, what is the most, let's continue on that. For somebody that is on like the edge of wanting to travel, but it's like insecure, not sure if they want to do it, not sure, like what would you say to somebody that wants to go and it's has been waiting for a while and then they're trying to find the reasons to, like, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them that the reason they're experiencing so much resistance in making the decision is because anything that's really worthwhile in life, you're going to experience resistance. It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And the hardest step that they will take is booking the flight and getting on the plane. And once that's done, the rest will unfold and they'll never look back.
Yeah.
And I think, because I have a lot of friends that I've family and friends I've convinced to come travel. They've all been blown away and loved it. Like my cousin who's 37 years old, never left Alberta, Canada. And he came out to Pi to visit me for a month. And it just completely changed his life.
Yeah,
like, of course. So for those people as well, I mean, I also have other friends who said, like, man, it must be nice and I wish I could, but then I'm looking at their situation and they have payments on a brand new car and I don't even spend that much on a monthly basis. Their car payment's more than I spend to live in Thailand, you know? So maybe reflecting on those things. But until they see it for themselves, they don't really know that.
Yeah.
And they might still find a lot of
importance. That's what's so powerful about it, because it's perspective, right?
Because yeah.
you step foot into a different country, and there's like... there's a wave of new perspective. I think that is what keeps me wanting to continue to travel. It's like, you know, I've been so many places already, but I know that I will get new perspective when I go to somewhere I haven't been before.
Yeah.
Or even go back to a place that I have been before with new eyes, because I've been somewhere else in between, right?
Yeah.
So that is definitely the... It's a great piece of advice. It's just a fucking, you know...
take that really difficult step.
Yeah.
And the reason it's difficult is because it's so fucking worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. So now that we're like on the road, in the conversation, like kind of, what is the most important lesson you have learned while being on the road? You can name three.
Most important lessons while being on the road. Okay. Well, something as of recent comes up first, and that has to do with judgment.
Cool.
By dropping judgment, we are able to have a more full experience. By holding on to judgments, which in most cases didn't originate from us in the first place, they originated from our parents or our teachers or the people that we've been around. By dropping these judgments, we now enter into a world that has so much more potential.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You actually get to like understand people instead of like pushing them aside. You actually get to understand situations, why people do things. So I mean, yeah, dropping judgment, massive.
Let's continue on that.
Yeah,
because this is a huge topic.
Yeah, for sure.
Super interesting. Mm-hmm. How would you say, with somebody that is like in a country that they've never left, they're 25, they're in the United States or Canada, and they haven't left, and they are somebody that grew up with, you know, judging parents like I did, right? Mm-hmm. I struggled a lot to get out of that mentality. What is your first tip? Like, how do you do that?
I think I had some materials and like maybe videos and things that came my direction through whatever, the universe, myself, whatever, that really opened my eyes to it. Unfortunately, like anything, this goes for anything in life, until you step outside of something, it's very hard to be aware of it.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. And that's why the travel is so important, because you won't see your life for what it really is, what really matters, what's really important, and what you actually enjoy until you step away from it.
Yeah.
When you're inside of it, it's just so hard to see. It's such a delusion.
What other things have you learned about
it? Yeah, for sure. So previous trips, I had priorities such as like a fast motorbike, and I didn't care where I stayed, if it was a shitty hut or whatever, but that was like one of my priorities. And I realized now that was actually something that I was holding on to myself, but it was also something that fed my ego.
Yeah.
So even though I love riding, etc., the reason when I'd be riding on that bike, your mind starts to go and you're like, oh, that person sees me and that, what are they thinking, all this stuff. And that's not actually fun. It does feed your ego, but it's really not fun. Now when I ride or do something, it's about the experience. If I buy a car that's fun, it's because it's the experience, and that took that out of it. So I think that's another disconnect there as well that really – because now I live extremely inexpensively while traveling, and because of that, I have more freedom. I'm able to travel for longer, and I'm not missing out at all. If not even more great experiences.
That's the fear. Like, am I missing out on anything if I don't do this other thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's powerful as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm definitely don't feel that like I'm missing out.
That's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I already asked you this. So, what is your favorite place outside of your home country, and why?
Well, we're in it. I think you expected that. So, Pai in northern Thailand has been my favorite place by far. For whatever reason, I know of a few actually regarding like equator lines, crystal quartz in the mountains, maybe all the greenery, things like that. But for whatever reason, it holds an energy that attracts just all the right people. It attracts open-minded backpackers, and they're the best reflection to hang around. They show me a lot of the things that I love about myself. They're just very easy to connect with because we're all here for a similar purpose. We're here to learn, understand, you know, it's really neat being able to come to one specific place and learn about every country and every culture.
Yeah.
It's like some people might travel to every country to do that, but I feel like you can just travel to Pi and the whole world will come to you.
That's so fascinating about this place. It's people from all over the world, literally. That's a great answer.
I'm sure there's other places where there's people from all around the world as well, but if they're on vacation or something, like southern Thailand, vacation tourists, they're there for 2 weeks. They've already got work in their mind still from they're going back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They just want to make the best of their time. But that's also based on fear.
Yeah.
So they're out drinking. They're out. They're not really connecting.
Yeah.
They won't, and so this is a totally different
dynamic.
Are you
a drinker?
when I was 18, I drank a lot in Thailand, yeah. But since then, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Me neither. I haven't been out once at Walking Street here. I've been out, drinking one. Although they have been out drinking, yeah. Just here at Paradise. Because this is one of the goals that I wanted. I didn't want to like spend money on it.
Yeah.
I don't like the hangovers, and I know that alcohol fries your fucking brain.
Yeah, and the whole energy of it. I mean, they're spirits, right? What you do is you open yourself up. You like when you black out, your consciousness goes away and you allow this other energy to come in and you don't remember what you do, but you did horrible things. Yeah. And it's like, to me it seems obvious, but
now
when you're inside of it,
now it does.
Heck no, it doesn't. You're like, I just want to have fun.
Yeah. Social lubricant.
Yeah.
There's other ways to get there.
Yeah.
So what destination have you not been to yet, but you're planning to go to?
So in 7 days from now, I'll be on my way to Ireland.
Nice. You've never been.
Never been to
Why
Ireland.
Where are you going?
A friend of mine, Michael, who's from Ireland, he's a magical human, makes me think that the place must be magical. However, we're going for a specific reason. He has a camper van. We're going to hop in his camper van, drive to the boat, take a boat across to England, and we're attending ceremony. Without getting too much information into ceremony, it's just about reconnecting the disconnected circuitry that we're experiencing right now, the paradigm that we're living in right now. We have a lot of disconnected circuitry. I mean, it seems obvious now, but maybe to a lot of people it wouldn't, because when I was inside of it, it's just the experience. This is the human experience.
Yeah.
But if you look at like human design and stuff like that, you'll see, wow, this is a strength and this is a strength, but there's a lot of empty space.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So maybe connecting that empty space back.
That's cool.
To experience fully.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So he's a camper van and you're going to travel by boat.
Yeah.
And how long are you going to do this for?
At least a month. I'll be
done.
That's sick. Yeah.
That sounds fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what destination have you been to that you wish everyone on Earth could see?
Wow. I would say Pi, but I think if everyone on Earth came here, it would lose its magic.
Yeah, definitely.
If you've got good intentions, a backpack that doesn't have too much stuff in it, an open heart, an open mind, then sure, come to Pi.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna attract the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so a little bit more like of a travel, like commodities and stuff like that. So name one object or tool that have come in very handy while traveling.
Object or tool, for sure.
Full toys is a viable option.
It is? Okay, for sure. Yeah, wow. I think that's another thing is like Pi is a magical place for connecting and things. However, it seems like this flow community that I find myself in is even next level. It's like you meet someone and it's a new family member. It's not just a new friend. It's like there's so much there for
you're sharing passion.
We have so much in common right off the bat, and I think that's huge. So maybe a really helpful tool while traveling is to have a artistic outlet that you choose you want to explore further.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore when you're traveling you will attract those kind of people, and you're just going to further yourself so much quicker.
Mm-hmm. Especially here, you can I feel like especially Pi, and I resonate so much with you saying it, because this is my favorite place on Earth so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Paradise in specific, because, you know, there's open mic, and then there's an opportunity to learn how to spin fire, which is fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's people here all day long that wants to connect with you, and it just allows you to open up to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you know, obviously there's probably some subconscious, you know, judgment going on here as well, but it's not as, you know, powerful, significant, what's the word, potent as somewhere else.
I think as a place of healing as well, like, I'm not saying in any way that judgment is bad. I'm saying that it's good to be in a place with less judgment so you can be aware of your judgments and you can heal and move past them.
Because
I'm sure I still have judgments and I go through them on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point now where I catch them quite quickly.
That's so cool.
But I wasn't always there, and I think if I wasn't allowed to come to Paradise when I still had judgments, then I could still be in that. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think it's like necessary to not have them. However, to be able to step away enough.
Hear it.
Yeah, be aware and hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, love that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, as I said earlier, you sound like you've done so many things and that you have a bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious to what your next list, because there's probably a lot of things you have on your bucket list that you want to complete.
Definitely.
What do you think is the next thing that you'll cross off?
So I want to be traveling to new countries, because I do have a lot of countries still on my bucket list. I haven't been to India, I haven't been to Vietnam, I haven't been to Cambodia.
Shit.
I haven't been to Australia, which I plan to go in March.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm going to do, or what I am attracting to do right now, is creating an image for myself. Actually, being part of the Medicine Circus is really helping as well. This thing, because I think what we're moving towards is not being confined to the space we're in now, which is a beautiful, amazing space, paradise.
Yeah.
But the where we become more known around the world to the point where people are, it's already happening for a few members, where I'm able to have the cost covered to go to these places and countries I want to experience, and perform for people and connect with people there and share everything I've learned from other places, but not having the financial burden of having to make my income somewhere else. Yeah. Just doing what I love and it being covered. I don't need to make extra money off it. I don't need anything. But if I can have these experiences, I'm experiencing. There's nothing else I need, you know? So I think that's huge on my list.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move on to some different types of questions.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, who is the person at home you miss the most?
I would say my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom's been my biggest role model my whole life. I've watched her constantly be like, it's crazy now that the time's passed and with memories, the distance in between is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
So it's like, for instance, when she decided, hey, I want to live on a boat. Next thing you know, she's got the sailboat, etc. And then she's like, I want to be a chef. 4 years go by, boom, Red Seal chef. And then she's like, I want to own this 76-foot Nordhavn. It's like a $10 million yacht, right? And so next thing, I think maybe like a few months in, she gets offered to be a chef on this exact specific yacht. So she didn't manifest owning it. But then through this experience, she got to see that she doesn't want to own this. The amount of financial stress and the burden that this boat is huge. She's extremely grateful to be cooking on it. Do you know what I mean? And she actually attracted her partner, who's a captain. So they're a captain in the chef team, chartering boats around the world, doing what they love. Yeah, so being able to see her doing all that and creating her reality, it gave me the ability to see that I have that same potential so I can manifest things like that into my life. Yeah,
like your mom already.
Yeah, she's awesome. Tina. She came out to Pi to visit me for about 3 weeks last year as well. She came and stayed at my house. And
that's
yeah.
beautiful. And she got to see you spin and all that stuff?
Yeah, like? Yeah. She's very supportive.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What home comfort do you miss the most?
I don't like comfort.
I love that answer.
Yeah, I really don't.
Because comfortable, this is what I've been saying about comfortable, like comfort zones.
Yeah.
Something that is, that's in my nightmares.
Because
you don't grow there necessarily.
Yeah, it just slows down your experiences. That's what I've...
If you had to name one thing.
One thing. So where I live specifically on Vancouver Island, I don't know of any other place in the world yet that has as great of like river, waterfall, cliff jumping type of spots. Literally
like
within
it. You can do anything, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Within a 20-minute radius of where I was living, I have like 30 favorite spots from rope swings to cliff diving to, you know, crystal clear water. I dive into the water and drink while I'm underneath it. Like, you drink. It's a weird experience because you'd think you'd be drowning, but I actually do. I dive under to where it's nice and clean and I drink while I'm underwater and it's really amazing.
That is so fucking fascinating.
Because it's all glacier fed as well, which is, I think, something to note.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Vancouver Island. I didn't know it was an island.
You know what's interesting is actually nobody that I've ever met traveling knows that. I say Vancouver Island, they say, oh, Vancouver, which is on the mainland.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, to drive across Vancouver Island takes about 9 hours.
What?
So it's bigger than England. But nobody knows it exists. It could have something to do with our massive military base that's there.
Yeah.
We have, from what I've noticed, the most chemtrails in the entire world. Like every single day, I've had friends calling me a conspiracy theorist all growing up, but they never look at the sky.
Yeah.
I watch the sky and I watch these planes go back and forth across the sun and then turn into these fake looking clouds that everyone else thinks are normal and normal clouds. They're not at all. It seems very obvious. But I don't know if that's A, to prevent the glacier from melting, or B, to hide our military base, or C, just to pollute our shit. I don't really know, but I definitely see it happening.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that could be maybe why people don't know it exists. Yeah. I don't know.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Are you a Canucks fan?
I've never been a fan of any sports.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's another program. If people were as passionate about important things as they were about sports, I have a lot of family members who are so into hockey that if their team loses, they have a shitty day.
Yeah,
and I see that as just so toxic.
Yeah, that's silly.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I think for that reason, I've played all sports my whole life. But,
but you're not necessarily specifically, you know.
I've never been a fan of watching someone else play sports. Yeah.
Name something that you've brought but you've not used for your travels.
Wow. I would have liked to use my hammock, but it seems I lost it on my travels somewhere.
That's the one thing that we brought too that we didn't use.
Yeah, interesting.
They're fucking everywhere.
There are hammocks everywhere. Yeah, it's very
true.
We just
gave it to paradise.
I'm sure there's something else though. Yeah, I can't think of it. Being my fourth time to Thailand, I packed extremely essentials. Like,
I did. You have experience now. You know where you're going and what you need. And obviously.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, obviously, the first time most people travel, they overpack.
Yeah.
And end up having to throw shit out or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, what's the most useful item you have?
Ooh. Besides my props, because I use those probably more than anything else. Most useful item. Maybe my clothes, because if I walked around naked, I wouldn't be accepted in this culture. Yeah. I don't really have, like, this time I prepared and saved up and bought a lot of electronic things to help out my trade, like the GoPro, editing software, an iPad, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's useful. And that's been extremely useful.
What software do you use?
Yeah, so actually for the GoPro editing, I started using just Quick, which is an app made by GoPro, and it's completely free. But it takes away all the very time-consuming, mundane parts of it and does that for you while still allowing you as much creativity as you want. So that's...
Is it on the phone?
Yeah, you can get it on your phone. Yeah, it's just Quick. Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, Quick. It's really good.
That is cool. There's a couple questions here that I also... Yeah. But I imagine that these are things that you know have taught yourself. So it's like... What's the best piece of travel advice you've received? That's probably something you've experienced and taught yourself, and then, you know.
Best bit of travel advice, drop your expectations.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Can you build on that?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times when I would bring up travel or certain countries to people back home, they immediately come at me with like 10 things of fear. But aren't you worried?
Yeah,
aren't you worried? I heard there's a lot of dogs out there. Aren't you worried about getting bit? Yeah. Aren't you worried about getting this from the mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Aren't you worried about all these things? And they create this reality that doesn't exist here at all. I personally don't get any immunizations, any shots, nothing like that. I'm totally against it.
Yeah.
And here I am, totally fine.
Yeah.
Because I really don't believe in any of those things. They're all part of the fear-based paradigm. They just want you living in that fear, right? And then they have more control over you. I'm so outside of it. I'm not, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's why I say drop expectations, drop judgments. That goes back to the judgments as well.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, if you find out some information online about another country you've never been to, it's just polluting your thoughts about it.
It's going to be a subjective point of view.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And because a lot of people, you can think of it like this, 100,000 people can come to Thailand, have a great experience. They're probably not going to take a whole bunch of time to write about it on the internet. One person has a horrible experience,
you read that,
they share it. They share it. Yeah.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I love that so much. What's the worst piece of travel advice you've received?
Worst piece of travel advice? Well, the dietitian that I was with when I first came to Thailand, because I was really, really focused on my physique and stuff at the time. I was a bigger child. And
not anymore. You're fucking rich.
Yeah, now. Yeah. So a lot of things have changed. But even then, I was going to the gym for about 2 or 3 hours a day. I used to do parkour and free running. I do that for about 4 hours every single day. So very strict on my routine. However, due to the information that was fed to my dietitian through schooling, I was pretty much only eating rice, chicken, and tuna.
Unnecessary.
No, super unnecessary. So I did get large and bulky. I was slow, lethargic. I was tired. Lack of a lot of things, man. So, I think.
Eat fucking food.
Yeah. I think the tip here is if something in its natural form tastes good, smells good, or looks good, and it's edible, it's probably meant for you. Just like if a bird eats a seed, it probably tastes like a cake. Do you know what I mean? It probably tastes amazing, just like a mango does to us.
Yeah.
If we have to modify the shit out of it to taste good, like,
then it's not.
It's probably not meant for you. Yeah.
Much.
Listen to your body, essentially.
Yeah. So these are more like a wider questions. And this is also a question that I imagine you create. Because what is your dream job? It's not necessarily a job that you're going to go apply for and hopefully somebody's going to give it to you. It's something that you're going to create.
Yeah.
So if you were to create your dream job, what would it be?
Yeah, so it wouldn't have the label job, firstly, because I think that's a word.
It'll be passion, love.
That's right. It's an experience. It's the journey. It's a lot of things other than a job.
Uh-huh.
However, I kind of feel like I'm already in it.
That's amazing.
I've been getting by even going forward financially doing the things that I'm doing. I don't have a schedule, which is very important to me. Like, I'm okay with having certain things, like, okay, and I'm always on time if I do have something.
Yeah.
But being the type of person who's always on time, if I have a full schedule throughout my day, then that adds a lot of stress and pressure on me because I am going to be on time for everything, but then I'm not enjoying the journey. I'm like, the next destination, next destination. Lately, I've been calling it keeping up with the beat. Keep up with the beat. Keep up with the beat. But the goo that's inside of the beat is the experience.
Yeah.
So I think, where am I going with that? Just...
The dream job, like what would you create?
Dream job. continue expressing my artistic, expressing myself in artistic ways, expanding on my artistic abilities and expanding into different sectors, while creating enough income to continue doing those things at my own leisure. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you have a plan on how to do that, or are you just going to, you know, develop that as you
I think
go?
It's unfolding.
It's already, yeah.
Yeah, it's here.
You're already in it, you're already creating.
It's here,
That's
yeah.
amazing. Mm-hmm. Where would you like to live? Where would you most like to live in the world? Is that Alberta?
Nice one. Mm-hmm. No, definitely not Alberta. most like to live. Once again, I've made it happen. Like, sure, I'm only 25, but this is currently the best place I've experienced, so it would be here. However, I don't know that there's yet, because I haven't been there, if there's a place I would rather live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't know.
You can't know until you've been there. And I'm not going to take some advice off a post on the internet.
Yeah,
so.
No, you got to go see it.
Yeah.
How many countries have you visited? Do you know that? Is there a number? Or?
Yeah, it's a pretty small number, actually. I've been to Thailand. I've been to Myanmar. I've been to Germany. And Canada, that's it.
Wow.
I've
never been to four countries.
Never been to the States, even though I live like an hour and something away, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you planning on going?
No.
There's no reason for that.
Yeah.
How are you documenting your trip other than your GoPro?
That probably could have been judgment right there.
We're not perfect.
Other than my GoPro. Well, see, I'd like to use my... I think that's when the GoPro is going to come in for the documentation more. It's been just for the fire shows and stuff so far and for progress. But on this road trip with Michael, driving across Ireland and England, I think we're going to be doing some podcasts and doing some sharing. So
yeah,
I'll have some time to reflect on my experiences so far.
Yeah.
I haven't this trip so far spent as much time as I would like to. Ooh, that's another thing. I don't like saying spent time. Anyways.
That's good to be aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
Awareness of it is the first thing.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't express myself onto paper as much as I'd like to, or document it as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
However, everything happens as it is supposed to,
yeah.
And I have no reason to stress out about how much I'm documenting. But the things that are very important will for surely get documented in some way or another.
You have another four lives to live. So
that's right.
Like
yeah.
Time
yeah. Yeah.
The internet, in my opinion, or this is just a wild theory that I have. That 200 years, the internet will become a museum.
Yeah.
So there's going to be like a new version of the internet in 200, 250 years that future generations of humanity can like log into the internet 1.0 that we lived it.
Wow, they used to do this?
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Crazy.
Like, oh, this person was born in, you were born in Vancouver, you said?
Yeah. Well, no, Salmon Arm, sorry.
So you're born there and then you can like tune in to be like, oh, I want to see who was born here at this time in human history. And then you can log in and see what everything you posted. Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this person is a cool fucker.
Yeah, I'm sure everything on Facebook is documented
it's
somewhere.
It's going to all be public,
yeah,
my friend.
Definitely.
Privacy is dead.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is a cool question. Well, actually, I'm going to wait with that. I want to wait. I'm going to ask a couple more before that. You call yourself a traveler or a backpacker?
Backpacker.
Yeah. What would you like to be famous for?
Oh, that's
famous?
A weird question for me.
Because I think that merge into, you know, because it's not fame that we're looking for. It's that what I'm like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have like a group of like groupies. And
I have a way. I think I have a way of looking at the question slightly different.
Perfect.
So rather than something that I would be famous for, like because I could say like, oh, famous fire spinner or something like that. I would rather be famous for the purpose of being able to have a large reach on impacting people's
exactly
lives.
That's exactly the reason that I want to. It's the attention and what I can do with it.
Yeah, yeah. If in other people's eyes I'm considered famous, that just means there's a lot more eyes on me.
Yeah.
I don't want those eyes on me to feed my ego. I want those eyes on me so that maybe I can plant seeds for more people. Yeah.
That is exactly
Beautiful.
That is exactly what I feel too. And then one last question before we're going to go through one sequence of like questions. Would you just pick one of the ones that I say?
Mm-hmm.
And then... and then there's a question that I want to ask everybody that is on the podcast.
Okay.
Which is like the last question. So what has surprised you about yourself the most?
Is this like a lifelong question thing?
You could frame it into in your travels. Like from the moment you like left your country and then up until this moment, which is about like 8 years. Like is it about you that has changed or developed or evolved in a way that surprised you?
Yeah, well, I was actually just going to say that my ability to evolve in any situation around any group of people, and I think that once again comes from dropping judgment, because if you identify as yourself and you identify as a specific type of person, like let's say I am a salesperson, or I am this or that, then you tend to only hang around those type of people. So by dropping all those identifications of myself, I've been able to blend in with any kind of group and learn from anyone. And
there's just no labels.
Yeah,
it's just,
and you can fit in.
Whatever.
And I can fit in because I am limitless. I'm endless. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I love that answer. Mm-hmm. So let's go into the ones that are like either or. I like to call them either or.
Yeah.
So train or bus?
And it's just the one of the two.
You choose.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, I haven't had the train experience.
You haven't had one?
No. Like I've taken a small train on Vancouver Island, enjoyed it, but that was when I was younger. Other than that, I've taken buses and planes.
Yeah.
But I do think I'd prefer the train experience.
Cool. Tea or coffee?
Tea when I'm really loving myself. Coffee when I've gotten into the consumer. Yeah, I don't think we ever need it. I think
caffeine is the most consumed drug in the world.
Yeah,
right?
Sugar is actually. Caffeine would be second.
That's probably right.
Yeah. But
because sugar is considered a drug.
Yeah. It isn't. But that's the problem. It's the most widely available drug. You can reach for it in any direction and have artificial sugar.
It has an actual impact.
It's actually harder to quit sugar than it is to quit methamphetamines because it's right in front of you everywhere. Yeah. But on that being said, right now, coffee, but I'd like it to be tea.
Love that. Yeah. When it comes to toilets, squat or Western?
Western.
Fan or air conditioning?
Fan.
Strict schedule or go with the flow?
Go with the flow.
Beer or wine?
I guess beer.
City or countryside?
Say that again?
City or countryside?
Countryside, definitely. Don't like cities.
Window or aisle seat?
I've always done window.
Me too. Yeah. Bungee jumping or yes or no? Bungee jumping, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah? Solo travel or group travel?
Solo, always.
Yeah, and Xander said the same thing.
Yeah, you're not limited by the... I have traveled with other people before, and as much as you don't want to rely on each other, you end up doing it. Same goes with traveling with partners.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I kind of want to do this today, and they're like, oh, yeah, me too, but not really, this, and you end up compromising, and that can actually cause resentment.
Yeah.
You may as well be on your own, because then you have limitless friends to make every single day. Like,
I resonate with that.
Yeah.
So the last questions of it all, this is a wide question.
Yeah.
And Xander was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So this is something that I asked myself, and I've come to like a conclusion, but it's more like, I think it's like a wide message, what you would share. So if the entire world was watching or listening right now, what would you say?
You have to, so there's a lot of programs, there's a lot of misinformation in the world right now, and the only way that people will have the chance, the opportunity to discover it and get outside of it and really start experiencing is to physically get outside of it. So back to one of your previous questions, take that really difficult decision and go travel somewhere, bring a small backpack with not much stuff, have no expectations, drop your judgment, and just go. And then you're going to get to see things for how they really are, and you might get to fully experience.
If you don't have the opportunity to do that, go create that opportunity.
Yeah, create it, because that's a storyline. We're always creating stories in our head. If your story is, oh, I can't do that because this and this, you are the only thing limiting yourself because you're wrong. You can. Yeah. We are the limiting factor.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for doing this with me, Dylan.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah,
thank
you. That was fun.